MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Trading now with our Antonessa, 10X CIO, 10X Investments. Anton, appreciate the early morning time. If we go back 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, the debate around active versus passive investing was fairly divided, and it was kind of folks sitting in separate camps and kind of either or. You make the point that actually the debate is now nuanced, and the smart investors probably doing some of both, and depending on their requirements will depend on the percentages, but passive and active actually work very well together.
Hi, morning, Simon. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's been that way kind of globally for a long time, where, you know, you either believe in passive or you believe in active, and everyone had these very strong views either way. But it all changed really about 5 to 10 years ago, particularly in the US and Europe. Mm-hmm. And this whole idea of, well, let's really think about how we can bring these things together, and in the end, ultimately reduce costs and deliver great returns for clients net of fees. And if you look at a large part of active management, a large part of what actually happens in the portfolio is effectively a replication of the index.
Yeah.
So a lot of you know, consumers are paying active fees, when in fact 80 to 90% of what they're getting is index replication. So by bringing the two together, you know, you can reduce fees and deliver a better result for the client.
And the one space, I mean, because I've always done it, because I've, you know, I recognize I have blind spots. Area, you know, for example, bonds. I know nothing about bonds. So if I want some bond exposure, I'm better off just getting a passive and fitting that into my portfolio. I remember chatting with your new CEO, Torby, when he came in late last year, and you know, he was making the point that there's some regions where you actually anticipate alpha being maybe easier, and I use that word cautiously, to achieve, and therefore you would perhaps want some active. So it's going to be kind of that horses for courses, to throw a bad cliche out.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and bonds, I think, is actually a great asset class to use, because if you look at government bonds, you know, you're spot on. You know, in the end, government bonds, very difficult. Effectively, you're taking a view on the movement in rates, mm-hmm. you know, and therefore on inflation. There's a little bit of a kind of a macro political view as well, but in the end, it's a very one-dimensional bet that you're taking. You know, do you believe rates are going to go up or down? And to really get that consistently right is very difficult. Whereas in corporate bonds, so credit markets, where you have the ability to buy, you know, numerous issuers, your access to issuance is very important. There's so many other elements coming in that you really can see why, you know, doing that in a passive way, which is effectively buying the corporate bonds issuers, which are issuing more and more and more, which is kind of counterintuitive. You really, you know, you can see the ability to really generate active, reliable alpha there. Whereas in government, less so. So that's a great asset class to use, as an example.
And you'd mentioned fees. And, you know, part of the debate, as you say, back in the day, 5, 10 more years ago, it was all about fees. And fees are important. I mean, we totally get that. But these days, we've seen pressure on the downside, both in active and in the passive space. And if you're going to pay an extra, I don't know, maybe 20, 30, maybe even 40 or 50 points more for active, who can deliver and is delivering alpha, particularly perhaps in their niche, again, well worth that extra bit of fee.
Yeah, definitely. That's right. And I think, you know, there are some great active managers out there. Mm. And they typically are specialists. They've got areas where they've got great analysts, great teams focused on it, and a proven track record. And, you know, there, absolutely, that's where you want to be paying for as you say, for alpha, and using that fee kind of very, very carefully. But then in also in asset classes like infrastructure finance, in mm-hmm. in private asset classes like credit or equity, you know, that's where the need to pay up is very important. And therefore freeing up your, let's say, your cost budget by utilizing index to replicate the other portion of the much more difficult areas to generate alpha, to spend it on areas where you can kind of get that alpha is very important.
Take that point. We'll leave it there. That's 10X Investment CEO Anton Esser. And that's our question today on our LinkedIn and Twitter, talking around this active versus passive debate. Where do you fit into it? How do you build your portfolio? I've long used a bit of both, with the passive really sitting at the core and then kind of using the active more as a satellite. You can have your vote. You can have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.